Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Football is back. AB is in New England now. Loving with the Jets. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, well, they're hoping to win a game in Cleveland. One thing that hasn't changed, though, where I'm placing my bets this football season. My bookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. It has better bonuses and more profits than sportsbook, period. I recommend this to you guys. It's been good to me. They have live in-game betting on every NFL game and college. And they got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, you can bet the over-under on fantasy points team they score each game. Right now, they have a first deposit bonus. $100, you get $100 back, up to $1,000. Enter our promo code ARMCHAIR, ARMCHAIR. When you create your account, my bookie, you bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, it's Vlad Harris here on another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Monday to you guys. We still got a Monday night game, you know, Texans and Saints. I really don't give a shit about that. But one thing we will get this weekend, or this week coming up, we should get the return of the Pit Live Wire. You know, where they do that whole thing after a victory where they upload it and, you know, there's all that music and speeches and all the rah-rah. And, of course, all the plays. Yeah, that's coming back. So we had the cathedral lights and we have the Pit Live Wire. That's got to be coming. I'm not sure when, but it'll be here soon. Because, as we all know, Pitt knocked off Ohio 20-10 on Saturday at Heinz Field. It's funny because I think at the as I was doing my bets that morning, I had a feeling Pitt was going to win and cover. And at the time, the line was like 6.5, I think, when I thought that. When I went to place my bets, the line went down to like, I think it was -3. It went down to on my bookie. And I'm like, they're definitely going to cover that. And they barely did because they won 20-10. And they did everything in their power in the second half to try to, you know, lose that, you know, spread. But then again, if they did, that's my problem. You know, I have to deal with that. They won the game, I have to deal with the other stuff. I mean, it was a great win. Obviously, there's still some concern, especially in the second half is the big concern because, you know, week one, they scored no points in the second half. Week two, they only managed 3 points. And they could have scored more. It just didn't happen for some reason. And there were some mind-boggling decisions like that, you know, that, like that 4th-and-1. They went, you know, they could have taken the offsides penalty, but instead they and had another 3rd down. But they declined and went with the 4th-and-1. And Ohio U blew it up because Ohio U knew at the time, and we really couldn't do much else. Because we really weren't throwing the football that well. But, you know, that's why I said they're starting to blow up these plays and Pickett can't throw it deep. And what does Kenny do? Kenny actually started to throw the ball, you know, a lot further. And he was actually completing passes. I mean, they weren't perfect. They weren't, you know, NFL, like, first round top 10 pick type throws, passes. But he was at least putting the ball somewhere where they can catch it. So, I'll take that any day, any time of the week. And if it gives a confidence, so be it. Because he's getting a lot of it as he heads to State College next week. And they're going to do something in the second half because Penn State's a really good second half team, as you guys saw on Saturday. I watched that game, and I think they were down 10-7 at halftime, and I said, you know, Penn State will probably outscore Buffalo 35-0 in the second half. I was wrong. Penn State outscored them 38-3. So if you take, you know, if you 38 minus 3, 35, they still scored my 35 points. And what was crazy is they covered. You know, it depends on what the line was when you bet, but I think, you know, I saw on two different occasions where it was like 32, 31, and 30. Actually, three different occasions. My math is off. But, you know, they won, and now they got to play Pitt. And, you know, Pitt did a hell of a job on offense in the first half, I thought. I mean, they didn't start out too pretty, but once they got settled in, they were up 17-3 at halftime. I mean, you couldn't ask for better a better situation than that, because given the fact that they ever thought Ohio was going to beat us, the defense did a hell of a job. They kept the Ohio's quarterback in check, which was good. They blew up a lot of the plays. We were expecting, you know, we all figured they were going to run because they're mostly a running team, but they like to spread out and throw the ball as well. And of course, Solich, being a Nebraska guy, loves to throw in some wrinkles from his Nebraska days. And but Pitt was blowing those plays up. I mean, they did give some big passes, but overall, you know, they only allowed 10 points. I mean, that's really good. They could have let up more. I mean, they had an instance at the goal line, and they held them to 3. That was a big victory for them. And we could have got those 3 points back, but our special teams special teamed. They're very special, I guess you can say. And somehow, you know, they shanked the field goal. But we got 3 points in the second half. And of course, our we had no block punts, so do the grades here. Offense, I would say I would give them a B. We got 17 points in the first half. Second half, we didn't score any. We scored only 3 points, which is concerning. But Kenny made throws, and he seemed a lot more confident when he was making them. It wasn't any of this short pass bullshit. He was actually throwing the ball a lot further. Running game, they ran for I think 160 yards. Vincent Davis had a hell of a, you know, was really moving the ball. We had that going for us. You know, Kenny threw for 300 yards. I mean, it's hard to, you know, flunk the guy for throwing for 300 yards. So, oh no, I'll give him a B. Defense, they get A+. They gave 10 points. They did what they needed to do. They blew up plays. Yeah, I know. They gave some, you know, some big throws, but they recovered. And although, despite they lost, you know, two players on the defensive line, they're still they're playing like as if business as usual. But now they have a big thing come up here with Penn State, which we'll talk about, you know, next podcast. Special teams, they get a C. And I think I'm being too harsh with them, but they got to work out their shit with the field goals. I mean, Kessman's got to get his act together. You know, the punter wasn't much of a problem this time, but yeah, I'm still going to give them a C. I'm still going to be a little rough with them. Although, you know, maybe I should give them a B, because you know what? we didn't allow anything on kickoff returns or punt returns. So you know, I'm gonna go from a C to a B. All right, I'm not gonna let a badly missed field goal put a damper on their grade. Because if I'm gonna do that, then I'm gonna have to grade the offense and defense a lot more harshly. And I guess coaching, I'd give a B as well. I mean, although that little fourth and one play was kind of mind-boggling at best, but well, same things apply. So around the ACC this weekend, we saw Wake go to Rice and win that game. I wasn't surprised by the score there. I mean, Rice kept it close in the first half, so I was kind of surprised about that. But then Wake, they adjusted and they won the game by 20. Which is also another concern for Pitt. It seems like, you know, second half, teams make adjustments, and it's just, we need to do something on offense. We need to make some sort of adjustment on offense. Unless Pat Narduzzi has this really awesome game plan for Penn State next week that he's just hiding it, you know, in his books. I would hate that he would do that, but you never know. I mean, I thought James Franklin was keeping it cute as well. But then they woke up. Or maybe he was keeping it cute and then he realized, oh man, we're losing to Buffalo and they're blowing us up. The big game was North Carolina being Miami Saturday night, and I was surprised about that game. I thought Miami would win it. And after the, the emotional roller coaster that North Carolina had the week before, I figured this game would be a letdown, but Miami lost it. And I'm surprised. I mean, Mack Brown starts his tenure in North Carolina beating South Carolina Miami. Which, I was hoping Pitt would be able to end their fertility streak against North Carolina. It's not looking too promising. It's a long season. Anything can happen. Maybe these two games, and then maybe North Carolina falls off. But it just doesn't look like it this time around. And Mack Brown wasn't a bad coach. He was a really good coach. It's just that he let his recruiting slip really bad at Texas. He just got lazy. And that's why he ended up, retiring. But let's get to the rest of these games. Virginia Tech avenged their last year's loss at Old Dominion. Although Old Dominion was 20.5 underdog, they covered that, so hope you guys took ODU with that. Georgia Tech beat South Florida 14-10. I think things are going to start to really fall for Charlie Strong at South Florida. I know people laughed and made fun of Tom Herman when he took the Texas job and Charlie was doing well all of a sudden in South Florida. People were on that little train, and well, it's going a different direction now, it seems. Although we'll get to Texas LSU here in a minute to talk about that some more. But as the rest of the games went, the other surprising one was Syracuse and Maryland. Syracuse got off the bad start against Maryland and just never recovered. Maryland just beat the crap out of them. NC State won their game. Clemson beat Texas A&M. I thought Clemson would cover that. Texas scored late. Boston College moves up. Florida State barely beats Louisiana Monroe. They lost in overtime because the kicker missed an extra point. Virginia, they knocked off William and Mary. No surprise there. Louisville won their game. But yeah, that was pretty much it for the ACC in a nutshell. Top 25, some games that stand out. Texas and LSU. I figured Texas would win this one at home or maybe cover. LSU made a fool out of me because actually there was a lot of teams that made fools out of me this weekend. LSU got a spread passing game, and they were distributing the ball, throwing the ball. They looked like a Big 12 offense with an SEC defense. Well, not really, because Texas dropped 28 on them. But Texas is a hell of a team. Or no, 31 they dropped, I believe. Texas is still a hell of a team. It's just LSU. They won the scoring race. So yeah, I was surprised. I figured in Austin, M. Crowd. Well, LSU just came in and beat it. Michigan, they were 22-point favorites over Army. After what I saw against Army last week against Rice, I figured that they wouldn't be able to do it against Michigan, and they almost won that game. They would have, the field goal at the end of the fourth quarter for Army, the guy had the distance, but you could tell there was a little, they were the snap and the hold, they just weren't in sync with each other, and it seemed like he got his kickoff like either too early or too late, and the ball just sailed wide right. I mean, it seemed like the holder didn't get the hold in time. It's something you can totally put down the kicker. But Michigan was a 22-point favorite. They, man, they couldn't even cover. I figured they would. But there wasn't really much else going on as far as top 25. I mean, Cal knocked off Washington, which was a huge win. And USC, I thought Stanford would win that game. Nope. Despite losing their quarterback, they beat, they destroyed Stanford. But pretty much that wraps up the Pitt game, the top 25, the ACC. As we get to some more fun stuff, you guys. Since my last podcast, Antonio Brown ended up with the Patriots Saturday. Saturday he ended up with the Patriots. I mean, it was funny because the whole thing with him and the Raiders, it played out like Boogie Nights. He gets into a fight with Mayock and calls him a cracker, which upsets some people. And then he releases a video with some, it seemed like a WWE-type promo, which was great. The way the video was made, it sounded like as soon as that video ended, you would see the cameras flash on a dark WWE ring, where the lights are off and the fans are cheering, or the octagon, where you had the lights flashing. It's dark, but you have those little lights flashing around, and you have the crowd screaming. It seemed like it was like a promo to a fight. But the whole thing played out like Boogie Nights, because the fight with Mayock reminded me when Dirk was high off coke and he couldn't get it up for a scene, so he went to the dressing room to get himself ready. And it's a shame, because if Dirk had BlueChew.com, he wouldn't have had any problem with that, because BlueChew, it's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's chewable. And see, if Dirk would have chewed that, he wouldn't have had to worry about doing all that in the dressing room. And I'm sure it would have, did some with the cocaine. But yeah, if Dirk would have went to BlueChew.com and ordered himself some of that and use our promo code CHAIR, he could have got his first shipment for, all he had to do was pay $5 for shipping. He'd been good to go. But, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it's the 70s, so Dirk obviously didn't have access to BlueChew. But you guys do. So get your cathedral going and go to the site and order it now. You'll have it in time for the Penn State game, and who knows, you know, you may run into some Penn State fans who have rectal issues because they'll brag about the size of their stadium and whatnot and how many wins Joe has. Just hand him some of those blue chew pills, and, you know, they won't have to worry about that stuff, you know, when they are with their significant other. All right, now going back to the actual Boogie Nights thing. So Dirk starts flipping out, says, "I'm the king of Dirk. You're not the king of Dirk." And wigs out and leaves. And of course, Jack fired him, of course. You know, Jack screams to get the hell out of here. But then the next day, Antonio Brown issued an emotional apology, which kind of sounded like, you know, when Dirk, you know, after all the coke wore off and after his buddy Todd got shot up. And of course, his car got shot up as well. He comes in and he's all somber and he's asking Jack for help. He's like, "Can you help me, Jack? I need help. Can you help me? I'm sorry, you know." And that's what it all sounded like. But then, yeah, he released the video with the WWE type shit, and next, you know, he's released, and of course, Yinzer Nation and the local me were all jump up and down over this. But then Antonio pulled the ultimate troll and signed with the Patriots. And yeah, he did leave some money on the table with the Raiders. But I don't, you know, he's getting some money from New England, but I think the money is really not much of an issue with him now. I think what Antonio Brown wants to do is he wants to win a Super Bowl. He's going to do it with New England. And he would move New England to 7 Super Bowls, which would pass the Steelers. So I don't really think this is about money anymore. He wants to make his enemies pay. And the enemies are in Pittsburgh. Whether it's Ben, some of the players on team management, of course, a local media who, you know... Oh, a crotch rocket. Yeah, I'm driving, so, you know, a crotch rocket. And, of course, you know, local media who attacked him as well. I mean, even before he wigged out, some of the local media types were... they seemed to be on his case. And of course, he blocked some of them. And, you know, one person in particular was a huge fan of him. And he got blocked. And next thing he was pretty petty about it. But here's the thing, though. Antonio spent some time with his daughter, you know, when she was going through leukemia. I would have been like, well, I mean, for me, if, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I'm a media guy and I didn't really say much to get blocked on Twitter, I would probably ask, "Hey, what'd I do to piss you off?" But, of course, local media is now upset over this because of, you know, it's collusion and all kind of stuff, tampering. Antonio Brown is in New England. The whole, it's over and it's done. And nothing's going to ever it's going to outdo it. Or, not outdo it, but you can't undone what's been done. He's there. And no matter how much you bitch, it's not going to keep him out of New England. But if you watched that game last night, and it was funny because I wasn't even going to bet that game. I was doing my FanDuel lineup for that game. And I'm like, who the fuck do the Steelers have? They have Schuster, but who else do they have a receiver that can, you know, do anything? They have that Moncrief who, you know, He's been a journeyman. He's not really that good. They have Washington, Switzer. They don't have anybody. In the backfield, they have Connor. Which I feel bad for Connor and Juju because now they're going to be the new targets. Now Le'Veon and Brown are going. And especially if they lose, it gets worse. Because anytime Juju takes a picture of him delivering pizzas to kids, they're going to be on his case. And if anything, if I'm them, I'm getting the hell out of Pittsburgh as soon as possible. As far as Ben goes, people are, you know, Deion Sanders was on saying that he thinks Ben won't finish the season. He'll retire. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. The Steelers got their asses beat by New England, and New England's a really good team. And they don't even need Antonio Brown to beat the Steelers. They don't need Antonio Brown to win the Super Bowl. They're still locked and loaded. And if anything, Antonio Brown is pretty much just an insurance policy in case Josh Gordon goes off his deep end again. But even then, they're still loaded. I mean, Dorsett blew the Steelers up in that game. And, of course, they got, you know, their backfield. Michael, whatever you call it, how you pronounce it. And, of course, they have James White. So the New England, and they have a really good defense. So the New England's not hurting at all. So I'm not sure how Antonio Brown's going to, as one person questioned, is he be able to, you know, to share the ball with everybody? He's got no choice but to share the ball with everybody because New England is run a lot differently. And if they need to get rid of them, they'll need to get rid of them. But if he wants his ring, he's got to keep quiet and take whatever comes to him. Because this is going to work out two ways. It's going to be when Chad Johnson was there, and Chad Johnson barely played because he didn't really fit in. Or it's going to be like Randy Moss, where Randy, you know, kicked a lot of ass. But yeah, he's dealing with a crowded receiving core. But if anything, he's probably signed to get his ring so he can, and then of course, if New England passes the Steelers, which is a very good possibility, it's going to happen. And he gets to, you know, have the last laugh. As far as the Steelers go, I think they will regroup. Offensively, they're definitely going to have to regroup and do something. Whatever they've been doing with their offense, with the receivers they've had, they can't do anymore. They're going to have to figure something else out. Because that's not going to work. I think they will win games. I think they'll make the playoffs. I know people are already handing the crown to the Ravens after what happened. But Lamar Jackson played a really, you know, he did against a really bad Miami team. I mean, he had a great game. And I think he'll have a good season, but he did against a really bad Miami squad. And, of course, Baker Mayfield, after what happened, well, Baker played last season, so they have more game film on him, so they can prepare against him, they know how to beat him. So I wasn't surprised, you know, but what happened, you know, with them opening day. And, of course, when you're breaking a team with new offensive weapons, you're going to have these type of games. And they may weather the storm. Who knows? If Baker keeps his head on straight, they may be fine. As long as he doesn't get hot-headed, that team will be fine. Kyler Murray was the brunt of jokes early in his game against the Lions, but he recovered and had a really good game. And I mean, of course, it was the Lions, but still, he made some decent throws. Larry Fitzgerald, 8 catches, 113 yards, a touchdown. You can't go wrong there. I'm just curious how all the rest of all this plays out. Well, in all, it was good. It was a good weekend for college, for NFL. Great opening weekend. Dallas didn't miss a beat against the Giants and won that game big. Eagles came back and won their game. DeSean Jackson, no surprise there. I mean, Case Keenum played a hell of a game, but I mean, they blew it in the end, and Eagles are picking up where they left off. Nick Foles, unfortunately, bad news for Jacksonville. Nick Foles goes down. So Luck is down. Foles is out. 7-9, 6-10 could win the AFC South. And if anything, Bill O'Brien bought himself some more job security, if that's the case. Oh, well, guys, I'll finish up here. Have a great week. I'll talk to you guys later as we'll dive into the Penn State stuff and more Pitt stuff, obviously. And, of course, look at the games. All right, guys, hello, Pitt. Have a good week.